podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's get our heads right on a Tuesday. Enjoyed the night off last night. As much as I love watching Padres baseball, we were all due for a little bit of a respite. We all got one, and I know I can't speak for my compatriots here, but I'm feeling much better mentally, physically, much better night's sleep. Actually got more than 14 minutes of sleep last night, so I feel great. I'm ready to go. Today will be a day on this program where I would imagine we'd be exploring the space, 4 hours of space, and exploring it fully and really taking a look around and saying, what do you guys want to do? And I'll turn it over to our executive producer, Paul Reindl. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear how you're feeling today.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm a little bit wired differently than you.
Yes.
Whereas I don't mind the off days. I usually don't mind them. Usually you'll come in and be like, oh, I was so bored. I was losing my mind last night with the Padres. I'm like, you know what? We just had 9 straight games. Every once in a while, little reset.
So I needed
watch a movie, watch some TV or something, switch it up just a little bit. I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it 2 nights in a row.
No,
no. We won't have to.
I needed the respite last night. We had a live member stream. It was a lot of fun. Actually, it wasn't fun. It was some serious topics are discussed on there. You know, it gets deep. Gets deep on the live stream. We've got some tier ones going through some stuff that we've been through. So we chatted, talked that stuff through, answered some questions. The live stream's really fun, and it's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what we do. And speaking of behind-the-scenes, here he is, self-appointed Manny Machado of the show. That's what's something we learned last night on the live
stream.
Oh, that's supposed to stay in the,
that
you're
stays
right.
in the live
that's
stream.
That's a big faux pas on my part.
Right.
That's Ben Higgins, everybody.
Good morning.
Again.
Good morning.
The Manny Machado of Ben and Woods. I learned something new about him every...
As Ben Higgins goes,
well, what player
so
would
goes
you
Ben
be?
And Woods.
I don't
if
know.
If you were a player, like corresponding with the Padres, but on this show, who do you think you are?
Xander Bogaerts. No. On this squad, let's see. Not Tatis, not cool enough.
You don't think so?
No, not cool enough.
I mean,
I was
comparatively,
walk over there and slap you if you did.
No,
comparatively, I would say you're probably more Tatis than I am.
Bo is more Tatis than you are.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like,
Bo's way more Tatis than I am.
Let's,
a million times.
Let's
more
be
Tatis
honest.
Than I
everybody's
am.
More Tatis than
That's
you are.
True.
Jeff says I'm Tyler Wade.
No,
I love
no.
T Wade. I don't know,
Paulie. Who are you then?
Paulie's crony, just solid as F.
Solid?
Just solid.
I was going to say Mason McCoy. You go, who?
No. You are...
I'll take crony. I'll take that.
Like crony. I know who I am. Gavin Sheets. Some days I'm good, some days I'm not.
I don't know. We only have 3 players. I think you're aiming kind of low, but that's fine.
Who's Schilt? Adam. Is Schilt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what? So, yeah, you're Manny, I guess. So we did.
It's one thing if one of us call you Manny. It's a totally different thing for you to call yourself.
I'm like,
the Manny
you know
Machado.
Me, guys, I'm like Marlon Brando. Like the best to ever do it.
I mean, not obviously, I wasn't talking about baseball skill. I think personality.
What were you
wise,
talking
though,
about?
Maybe I'm Merrill.
I think Percy, yeah, he could be Jackson Merrill. I think personality-wise, I'm more Manny than anyone else on the team.
I think so. I do agree with that.
More of a homebody.
Yep.
Wait, you know.
What? No, there's no bigger homebody in this room than me.
Well,
I never leave my house. I don't let anybody in my house.
That's true. You are a homebody.
I'm a huge homebody. Paulie's Ruben Niebla. Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that one.
He is, because he's the woodsy whisperer for sure. That's really good. I like that. I like that. Oh, I'm going to give you Manny, just because, well... Why not? If you think it, then I
mean,
want
again,
you to feel
was,
that way.
This was just for the Goldstream members.
Paulie is Musgrove as well. Paulie's got all the good guys.
My comparison was that Manny is the kind of guy who only does things that make sense to him. You know,
see,
that,
you
that,
said that last night, and I've been
that try to. You know, he's. I think he's very logical when it comes to his baseball strategy and skill. And I'm also kind of that highly logical.
You're so
sort,
logical. Yes, you know. But I will say, Manny. if Manny's bosses called him into the office and they said, you need to start doing this, I would be the one that said, no. You're the one that would be like, okay, I'll do it. And I don't know that Manny would do that. You know what I mean? So, listen, these are the kind of things. Woody's, as Glenn says, is the ball boy. Must not be a Woody's fan. I don't know who Woody's is, you buffoon, but I go by Woodsy. All right? So if you're going to insult me, Glenn, with two N's and two L's, then get my name right, pal. All right? All right, I like that. All right, Woods is Merrill, Ben is Manny, Paulie is Crony. I wear that all day. That's great.
Wish he didn't get like, never mind.
But these are the kind of things we bandy about on the live stream.
True.
So if you're not, and the best part was Ben just came out of the blue.
Out of nowhere.
We were talking about Manny, our guy, Manny, that plays third base with the Padres. And Ben all of a sudden, now Ben did his live stream outside, which was cool. He wasn't in his house. Beautiful blue sky behind him when we started. And all of a sudden, he leans back and he's like, I feel like I'm kind of like the Manny of the show. And I started dying laughing. I was like, more, yes, more. Let me get a little bit more from you. It was like being in therapy. I want to get more. And after he explained himself, I said, okay, I'll give you that. I will.
It's the logical part. I think Manny is an integral part of the team, but also a little apart from it as well sometimes. And I feel like I'm that way. I don't know.
Yeah, and then at the end, Chris says a little Ben Witch project at the end. As the sun started to go down, all you saw was like white teeth. like the sun started to creep.
Yeah, I didn't bring a light out because the sun was like blaring in my face when we started. I was looking toward the west, so we had plenty of light. But then as it set and got darker, I was just disappearing into nothingness.
Yeah, it was fun. Man, we always have a good time. I just want to tell the tier ones that are on there, you guys are awesome. And for the rest of you guys, too. You guys are awesome, too. We do this once a month. Sometimes twice a month. We'll give you a little extra taste. But, man, it's so fun to get together. It's always fun to get together live on the radio. You guys are watching us on YouTube as well. So how was everybody's night, day, beyond that? I got to tell you, man, it was probably one of my more least productive days in the last 6 months. And I feel like I needed it with no rest. I was pretty frazzled when I got out of here, and I went home, I got a sandwich, I ate that sandwich, and I crawled into bed. As a grown man, Benny, I was crawled into bed by 11, and the sheets were up over me, and I had a mask on, and I go, I gotta get some rest. I cannot start my week feeling like a dead man. And so I did that. Hannah came in. Am I going to go get Bo? I go, could you please go get Bo? Yes, I'll go get him. So she wore one for me. And then he got home. By the time he got home, I was up and at him and ready to go.
Back with the
living.
You know, yesterday was a good buffer day for me. I think everyone needs a buffer day between vacation and like fully back into life. It's hard to... Vacation's actually more exhausting sometimes. Work.
You get to the vacation depression.
A little bit, yeah.
Did you have it yesterday?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? You didn't wake up yesterday and grab your golf clubs and go
to
the golf course.
Yeah, totally. Totally different life, you know?
Dream.
Get up early, do the show. But it was kind of a light day at Channel 10 because we had an live American Idol show, so we only had a couple of short newscasts. I only had one story to do, so I actually got home a little bit earlier than usual.
Still doing that?
Which one?
American Idol.
They still do American Idol, yes.
Who's the last? Who won last year?
I have no idea.
Who won the year before?
I have no idea.
What about the year before? How about the year before? Anybody know the year before?
Can you name one winner in the last 20 years?
Probably not.
Kelly Clarkson.
I think that was longer than 20 years ago.
Pull up the winner sheet and let's guess him. Scotty McCreery.
I mean, it used to be, it was on Fox when
Ruben
it started, but it moved
Foster.
Over to ABC the
Ruben,
last 6 or 7 years.
Ruben Niebla? What was his name? Ruben...
Ruben Studdard.
Ruben Studdard. Isn't he in prison now for something?
I don't know.
Have any of those people gone on to do anything other than Kelly Clarkson? Clay Aiken?
Carrie Underwood.
Did she win it?
She didn't win, I don't think.
How did she not win?
I don't know.
Kelly Clarkson was in 2002.
That was 23 years ago. All right, so I missed that.
Ruben Studdard.
Adam Lambert.
Did he win?
He didn't win either.
Wait.
No, Carrie Underwood won.
Oh, she did win? Okay.
Season 4 in 2005. Taylor Hicks, Jordan Sparks.
Was that country dude with the white? He was like 25, but he had gray hair?
I think so, yeah.
All right, what else?
Yes, that was him.
Who else?
Jordan Sparks,
That's a woman.
Yep, she's good.
Fantasia Barrino. Remember
is that
her?
Right? No,
remember
I mean, I know the name.
The black
Scotty
girl with
McCreary.
The like, short
Scotty
hair.
McCreary, I got that right.
Philip Phillips.
Philip Phillips! We used to play him on 94.9, and I would want to die. I remember going to my boss, we're playing Philip Phillips from American Idol? You know we can be playing, like, the Pixies and stuff, right?
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson,
very
she was
successful,
talented. Yep.
Very successful.
She didn't win.
She didn't win.
She didn't win, no. They seem to make some, there were at least some stars from the early going, but I last few years I've got no idea.
Ruben died? I didn't know that. Well, all right. You know how we do it on this
geez.
Show.
I almost said a bad word.
Wasn't expecting to do this today.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult.
He's not dead.
So, he's not dead.
Oh, never mind. Somebody said he was dead in the
not
chat.
Dead. He's 46 years old.
I'm so sorry, Ruben. Polly, can you get Ruben Studdard on the line today?
Well, now that we know he's alive,
great.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be
try.
Like a listen. Some turd internet aggregator is going to pick this up.
We didn't quite get to the. We didn't quite get to the shout out to his family part. Polly caught it off just in time.
Somebody, they're going to, some aggregator is going to pick something like Ruben Stetter dead at 46. Like, wait, what?
You know
what? Oh, no. Listen.
I'm going to go to his tour dates. We're going to now buy tickets to one of his shows.
You know what? I'm going to buy some of his vinyl just to support him because I feel bad that we just killed, him. That's terrible.
Wow.
Who else? Yeah, he may, now, the as East County Chris points out.
August 2nd in Temecula at Thornton Winery.
You're joking!
We're gonna going to go see Ruben Studdard.
It's at a winery. That's great.
It's fantastic. the Ben and Woods curse, bro. If I'm him, I'm not leaving my house for it. We need, it's got to be a 10-day buffer. If he makes it the next 10 days, I think we're free.
We're going to feel really bad if he
if
does.
Something what if something happened to him today? So that's I'm blaming somebody in the chat. Somebody said he died, and oh no, that's so sad. I thought he would. I thought one of somebody went to prison or something. I have no idea. But my wife is in the chat. She says American Idol makes stars, but I also don't know what she considers a star because I haven't. What are the who won the last few? Any idea? Who won? Like you? It's on your network. Don't you know this?
I really don't watch it at all. I'm sorry. Let's see. Winners by year.
Last year's winner was.
See if we've ever heard
Abby Carter.
Nope.
Never heard of her.
Iam Tongi. Noah
Thompson. Iam Tongi.
Yeah. Or I am Tongi. Noah Thompson. Chase Beckham. Just Sam.
Just Sam.
Just Sam. Lane Hardy. Maddie Pop.
I'm reading. There's little
Trent
descriptions
Harmon.
For each winner. Just Sam. Is a woman that won in season 18, and it was the first ever remote finale due to the pandemic.
Okay.
So she, like, sing remotely from home?
Yeah, into a Zoom. Wow. That probably sounded really good.
Yeah.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. Sir, can you, you have to turn the volume down on your computer. Jeez, man.
Maddie Pope won season 16.
I haven't heard of any of these
sang
people.
A Rainbow Connection duet with Kermit the Frog during the epic
right.
two-hour
well,
finale.
Listen, if you guys are still watching American Idol, good for you. Hopefully one of these people break through in the next, you know. How do you keep it on if they're
Who
not?
Who judges that show now?
I have no idea. That's the other thing.
Does Randy still do it?
Is he still there?
Mm-hmm.
That's a no from me,
I
dog.
I think they've passed on. I think the judges have turned over
Are
quite a bit.
I think he was
Luke
the last
Bryan,
one.
Luke Bryan, Katy Perry, and Lionel Richie.
Lionel, buddy, you were in the Commodores, dude. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You were a Commodore. You're Lionel Richie. You don't have to do this. Luke Bryan, Katy Perry, and Lionel Richie. All right, well, maybe...
Randy Jackson hasn't done it since 2013.
12 years ago.
Simon left to do his own show.
Yeah.
He was really the star of American Idol, more than any of the singers. It was Simon's show.
All right. Well, I did not know I needed a massive update on American Idol. I don't think we were planning on I know for a fact we weren't planning on doing that. Carrie. It's Carrie Underwood on there. All right. Maybe get me to watch with Carrie Underwood on there. Not Katie. Carrie. This is your network, by the way. If your bosses are listening, somebody said it's Carrie Underwood on there.
I thought it was Katy Perry. I thought I was pretty sure Katy Perry was one of the judges, unless they changed it this year.
They might have. That's a no from me, dog. I love it. Well, that's your update on American Idol. Haven't watched it since maybe the first or second season. I remember really pulling for Daughtry, because that was really in that era.
Beatrice says they did change it this year.
They did change it. Okay.
Carrie Underwood, Luke Bryan, Lionel Richie with Ryan Seacrest hosting.
That dude is still just crushing it.
He's the only one that's been, yeah.
Probably makes $25 million a year for that show. You know, something insane. Well, that's it. All right. We'll talk some baseball. We got a preview of Padres Giants, certainly, today. Yeah, the Giants coming to town, playing good baseball. Padres are not playing good baseball. Something's got to give. Should be a really elite pitching matchup tonight. We'll talk about all of that. And that is the most American Idol I have ever. That's the most American Idol I've ever talked about.
I think
in my
we
life.
Started it by saying I had a light night because of American Idol. So
you love American Idol.
I had
Idol.
My buffer day. It was nice. I got home. Did the live stream, got to bed a little bit early. I was in bed by like 9 o'clock.
Which is insane for you.
For me, very early. I didn't even see the end of the Warriors game. I woke up in the morning and found out that they won.
Yeah.
In a dramatic fashion over the Houston Rockets. So anyway, we will get started with the menu. We'll let you know, of course, who's coming up on a Tuesday. All next after Kelly's traffic. It's Ben and Woods. Good morning, everybody, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, on this Tuesday morning, if you are sitting at work or you are about to go get in your car and you thought to yourself, man, I got to get something new. I need to get a new car ASAP. Highly recommend heading down to Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Got some really cool spring deals for you. They're going to give you a shot at employee pricing as well at Sedano Ford. It's a local veteran-owned dealership right there in La Mesa. And with this employee pricing, you know, that's what they pay. So it's usually reserved for the folks behind the scenes. It's now wide open to you. Check out the brand-new 2025 Ford Maverick, just $219 a month, tariff-free. And that is incredible value on a really, really sharp, sharp vehicle. So swing on by Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Check it out for yourself or make it super easy and head on over to SedanoFord.com today. You can check out all the inventory, all the offers, and claim your spring deal before it's gone. Head on over again to SedanoFord.com for complete details. If you do happen to pop by, let them know. Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent you, please.
Padres Giants tonight. Brief two-game series at Petco Park, but an interesting one. And we will be talking about it on the program this morning. Did you know, Woods, that there's only been six games played all season long between NLS teams?
Yeah.
Padres swept the Rockies, yep, three games, and the Dodgers swept the Rockies, three games. There has been no games between the Padres and Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Giants. There's been no games between any of, like, the Giants have not played a single NLS game. The Diamondbacks have not played a single NL West game. And we're almost into May at this point. So
yeah,
it's a pretty late start to the division competition, which means you're going to get a lot of those games now moving forward the rest of the season as they get them all in. And, you know, given the start the NL West is off to with, I think, still four of the top 10 records in the league or something like that, you're going to have some big games. And these are the first two really important, critical ones of the year, just kind of like a bit of an appetizer for NL West play.
Yeah, no question about it. Like you said, the Padres got to beat up on the Rockies. Dodgers got to beat up on the Rockies. Everybody else is waiting their turn against the Rockies. But it's the games against each other, which are the ones that we all kind of circled at the beginning of the year and went, all right, these are the ones where, you know, it's the West is so good. Is it going to be a bunch of teams just cannibalizing each other, you know, just going right after each other? And, man, you got to hold your ground when it comes to these games. They're big. They're big. And I know it's, God, we're still in April, you know, but those are big games these next
Absolutely.
2 days.
So we'll talk about that. Hopefully the return of Luis Arraez and what the Padres need to do to get back on track from their hot start to the season. Is it just getting healthy or is it more than that? We'll discuss that coming up at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, with Jesse Agler, it is an Incorporator Tuesday. Jesse will join us at 8:35 this morning, and we'll talk Padres baseball with the voice of the Padres here on 97.3 The Fan. Around that, you know, some interesting topics from yesterday. NBA playoffs, sure, but the fallout from the NFL draft continues. We talked a little bit about Shedeur Sanders yesterday. Really interesting exchange between the Bills general manager and a radio program, kind of like ours.
I love this.
In Buffalo, that got a little testy, got a little confrontational, And, you know, I think we all kind of related to that dynamic of you're talking, you're a fan of the team, you're talking about the team, the GM comes on, he disagrees with your interpretation entirely.
It was great.
And things got kind of interesting, so we'll play that audio coming up in our 7 o'clock hour before we do Don't Do This. We'll talk more baseball around the league as well, and all of our regular features like Take on Woods and the Rindle Report. We've got more boxing tickets to give away today as well for the fight coming up at Pechanga Arena on May the 10th. So stay tuned for all of that coming up this morning on Ben and Woods. As you said, it's an Explore the Space Tuesday after a no-game Monday. First Monday off day of the season, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They got Thursdays off.
They got two off days this week.
And they still have Thursday off this week.
Well, you know, listen, for this squad, being able to get away from the ballpark yesterday was probably a good idea. You know, after the sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays, Ben, it was probably a good idea. Shut the mother down, get a little reset, and get some nice rest, and then come back ready to take on the Giants tonight. Because the way that was going, if they just continued to play the Tampa Bay Rays, the way it was going, I don't think we would have scored a run for three more days if we had to play. I mean, they needed a hard reset. Going to be interesting to see what the lineup looks like tonight. Will Luis Arraez be back in it? I sure hope he will. I think early reports are good. I believe Jason Hayward is also potentially could join the team tonight. Is that correct?
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's what I heard yesterday. So
that would be promising.
We'll keep our eyes peeled on that. But yeah, which means, you know, when guys come back, somebody's got to go at some point. So it's going to be interesting to see what A.J. Preller and company do today.
All right, we can speculate about some of the moves as well. We'll get to all of that coming up. Let's take a quick timeout, and then we'll talk some Padres baseball on the other side. What should be a pretty big series starting tonight against the San Francisco Giants that is coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, Benny just mentioned the NBA playoffs, and Underdog is the best place to make picks during the playoffs with their extender promo. With that extender promo, you can play your way to increasingly bigger boosts each round of the playoffs. You can start a playoff series using your game one boost, continue boosting each subsequent game to unlock the next one. The longer the series, the bigger the boosts, and the more fun you can have, certainly. To play, all you have to do is download the Underdog app, choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats, like points, assists, rebounds, but you can also mix and match sports. Really having a fun time on Underdog. I play a lot of baseball, Underdog. So check it out. Once you feel good about your picks, you can play with as little as a dollar. If you get everything right, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. So download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code Woods to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over, 19 and over in Alabama, Nebraska. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
See some people in the YouTube chat that's planning to be at the game tonight. I was discussing with my ABC 10 colleague Jared Ahrens yesterday morning. He said, yeah, he was looking at ticket prices for tonight. Seems like the Tony Gwynn rookie bobblehead is a popular giveaway item because tickets are tough to come by for this one. There were a few Gallagher Square tickets left, but the resale market for like nothing left in the bowl, you had to go to the secondary market, and he was looking, you know, hundreds of dollars to try to get in just into a Tuesday night game at Petco Park. And remember, only the first 40,000 fans are guaranteed that Tony Gwynn rookie bobblehead. So get there early tonight if you're planning on attending.
I'm so glad that I got my Tony Gwynn rookie bobblehead that I pilfered from this radio
station. That's right,
station.
You did get the one, yeah.
Well, I lost the last one to Scraby, and I got in before Scraby got in. Now, Scraby gave away our tickets last week. We had tickets to give away, and he just decided, I'll just do what I want and give away their tickets, and ended up giving up tickets. So I thought, well, turnabout is fair play. I know you're going to want this Tony Gwynn bobblehead. I'm going to take it for my children who love bobbleheads before you get to it.
What if Tony Gwynn Jr. comes and says, I never got one. Can I have yours, please?
I would say absolutely not. I'm sure you know someone that can hook you up with that. You, of all people, do not need my version of your dad's bobblehead. It is such a good bobblehead, by the way.
It is
like
a good
one. It is really, really cool. So I enjoyed Tony on TV. He was on TV over the weekend, and you know, Don doesn't get to roast Tony Gwynn Jr. like he does Mudd. You can't roast Tony Gwynn Jr. Like, there's no roasting of him. Now, Mudd was also a big leaguer. Don does not treat him as such. Don doesn't treat him like, oh, yeah, you pitched in the big leagues for a long time. Like, you know, pretty well beloved. Tony Gwynn Jr., you're not messing with him. And when Tony tries on the cool new hat, he looks incredible in it. Mudd, not so much. The reversible
the bucket hat.
Six-sided bucket hat. Tony looks like he was born
to
wear.
In Don's eyes, Tony Gwynn Jr. was a baseball player.
Yes.
Mudd dressed up like a baseball
player. Yes, that's exactly that's how he treats him. Mm-hmm.
Hey, career-wise, Mudd probably had the better.
Do you think so?
Career of the two.
The best part. The best part over the weekend. I was dying. He goes, "So, how many hits did you get?" And Tony goes, "I really don't even remember." Which is weird, I think, for a baseball player not to remember, because they're all like, they know up and down. Don goes, what, about 1,000? And Tony goes, I don't know, let me look. 30 seconds later, Don goes, 381. Not even really close to 1,000, was it? It was so funny. Those guys have good banter.
Let's get right to the debate. Who had the better career? I don't know enough
about... Let's see if we can piss off all of our friends today.
I don't know enough about Baseball Reference versus FanGraphs.
Sure.
I'm going off Baseball Reference, which is B-War.
You're such an idiot. Yeah, you're an idiot.
So
imagine having a radio show using B-War in the year 2025. What a joke. What a joke. There's somebody in their car saying that right now.
I know.
Use the other one.
I already got baseball.
All right, all right.
Mark Grant played in the majors from 84 to 93.
Okay.
Yeah, nearly a decade in the big leagues.
He amassed a career B-War of 2.2.
Okay. Positive WAR player.
Yeah, not bad.
2.2 for Mudley.
Tony Gwynn Jr., you're going to go higher or lower than 2.2 for a career WAR?
So, good defense.
Played from 06 to 2014.
I'm going to say higher. Higher than 2.2.
You would be right.
All right.
5.1. Yes. Okay. Nice.
All right. Yeah, shorter career, but more impactful. Let's see. He had a 2.9 WAR for the Padres in 2009. That was his best season.
He had a good year that year. I saw, because I looked up his stats that day.
350 OBP. Yeah, and a solid year that year that accounted for more than half of his career WAR, but he had that one really good year. And then a pretty good follow-up year in 2010 with the Padres as well. He was definitely better with the Padres than anyone else.
What about Scanman, while we have everybody up? Bob Scanlon.
Is
he? All right, let's do Scan v. Mudd.
Ooh.
I would say Scan was higher.
Yeah.
Scan would get some saves and stuff.
And we would be wrong.
What?
Very wrong.
Scan's career WAR was just 0.6, went 20-34 with a 4.63 ERA in his career. He played from 1991 through 2001, about a decade.
10-year career.
Off. Yeah.
Wow, man. That's incredible. It was funny. Bo walked up to me yesterday and said, "Dad, did Tony Gwynn play for the Dodgers?" And I go, "No, Tony Gwynn played for the Padres." He goes, "I saw highlights." And I go, "Oh, you mean Tony Gwynn Jr.?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, yeah, he did." And his face like went white. Like he couldn't rap. I go, "Buddy, sometimes you need a job, right? And in Major League Baseball, you need a job. They offered him a job. He's going to take it. It's a big league club." He goes, "All right, I guess that makes sense." I walked in, Ben, on the Amazon Alexa. He's sitting at our desk, like in the kitchen nook. And Alexa's on, and it's baseball highlights. So I walk up behind him. It's Chad Billingsley of the Dodgers pitching against the Washington Nationals. I go, "What are you watching?" He goes, "Baseball highlights." I go, "From 2003? What are you doing?" And he's like, "I don't know, I was watching baseball highlights." I'm like, "Why don't you pull up something modern?" He goes, "The Nationals were pretty good." I go, "Yeah, they won the World Series." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we haven't won a World Series." I go, "Yeah, he's really becoming a good Padres fan. He wants to learn his history, but that's crazy." All right, so... Tony, clearly the best player on the broadcast team.
Don knows his stuff.
Don knows his stuff.
And just to completely give you all the info, Mike Pomeranz was a 9-18 with a 4.73 ERA in three minor league seasons.
Okay. All right.
So, never made the big leagues, never got past a high A ball with Salem in the Carolina League.
Interesting.
But there you go. There's your stats of your Padres television and radio broadcast.
That was Baseball Reference. Tomorrow morning, we'll do FanGraphs between Mark and Tony.
Just do it now. Now I have to know what the difference is. I have to know what the difference is of these guys. But clearly, Tony Gwynn Jr., the best player available.
You did. Yeah. All right. Speaking of numbers, one of our colleagues put together some numbers on the Padres' recent struggles that I think are relevant going into the series against the Giants tonight. We can get into some of those right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
So now on FanGraphs, Mark Grant's WAR was only 2.1, his F WAR.
Okay, Mudley was 2.1 on FanGraphs.
And then you go over to Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yep.
He amassed a 4.5.
4.5.
F WAR.
They're a little more
critical.
More strict over there.
And then
Scan Man. Oh, Scan's got to be negative. Or just flat zero.
Up here. Bob Scanlon was 91 to 2001. That's the right one here. 3.1.
Oh, Scan. They loved him on F4.
They love him on F4.
Better than Mud on F4.
Interesting.
Man, these are fun debates for them to have on
that's
the play.
Why, you know, that's why you always have to take those numbers and at least put them in perspective. Because
yeah,
even,
don't take them with a grain of salt, but put them in perspective.
Even the people who do it for a living disagree on you know what's the value and what's the importance of certain aspects of the game. You can always make it simple, and Chris always does a good job in the afternoon with his numbers.
I was just going to say, I need to thank Elo. I like when he tweets these out because I always use them.
Yeah, he breaks it down, and he said, oh, so Padres' offensive woes while losing 8 of their last 11 games. Team batting average is .204. Ooh. It's just .164 with runners in scoring position. So that's a big part of it right there, because the Padres the last year plus have seemed like, you know, they've come through more often than not. Not 50% of the time, but you just feel like they were better when they had runners on. When they needed to get those runners in, they were just a little better than they were the rest of the time. But they haven't been lately. And if you throw Tatis out of there, it's 189, even worse when you take out, because Fernando still hit pretty well over the last 11 games, but everyone else hasn't. Manny obviously struggling, 8-for-40. In his last six games, no RBIs in his last six games. Xander,
that's not right. He had an RBI.
Maybe that was before the game because he had the sack fly. That should
This came out yesterday, though.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's true. Maybe he missed the RBI.
Come on, Ella.
Xander Bogaert, 6-for-36. His last RBI was April 8th. The catchers. I thought this was interesting because remember at the beginning of the season, we were all like,
oh, they're pretty good. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Maldonado and Diaz are coming through.
It's putrid.
3-for-35. That's an .086 average over the last 11 games. And then he said players up from the minors. So guys like Connor Joe, Oscar Gonzalez, who've been Tirso Ornelas, 89 at bats. 191 average, just 3 extra base hits in that entire sample size for the guys who've been called up for the minor leagues to fill in for the injured players.
That's pretty tough. In the last week, they have a combined F4 of -1, last in Major League Baseball. Their weighted runs created plus, Ben, 41. That's 28th in Major League Baseball. And they have the sixth highest K rate at 35.3 since the 21st, so about a week, which is not characteristic of them. But again, you're playing the depth here, and they are 22nd in walk rate at only 7%, which again, we talked yesterday about how they're pressing, how they're trying to do too much. Of course, you get accused of making excuses for them when you say that, but that's clearly it. They've gone away from their identity because they've lost the players that are best at not striking out. They've lost the players that are best at taking walks, working counts, things like that.
Yeah, Jake walks a lot. Arise doesn't strike out at all.
Yeah, and so Jackson Merrill is an elite player. He does everything right. And then when you are Fernando Tatis, you're Manny, you're Xander, you're whoever else that's still in the lineup, you're still there in the trenches. You're like, I got to do more so that you chase more. You walk less. You're trying to do more when you're up there. So it all kind of comes together. Again, to kind of reiterate the point, you need your guys back. Now, again, it's no magic salve, right? It's not. There's no proof that those guys are going to come back and pick up right where they left off or get even better. But I'm sure going to take my chances with that than what we've got right now.
Right. It feels as though those are numbers that could change on a dime, though, especially if they start getting some of those players back. I don't think that there's any long-term concerns for the Padres this year. I really don't. you know, once Arise, you know, hopefully comes back tonight, you know, Jackson Merrill within the next week or so, it just changes that lineup. Take out 191, 89 at-bats, and three extra base hits, and replace it with guys who are hitting, you know, 250 to 320 with some power. They get on base a lot. Any team would, you know, absolutely skyrocket in those situations. That's a huge upgrade the Padres are about to make by getting some of their players back.
Yeah.
You don't really need to hit the panic button. You just need to hit the patience button for a couple more days.
I think you'd, well, I mean, panic and patience, yeah, it's a fine line. It really is. I mean, if those guys don't come back and ready to go, right? Like, I saw Jackson getting some ABs yesterday. He was not cleared to run, but was getting some ABs.
Yeah, he was in Arizona. He got four at-bats, and
he got
a couple knocks. They told him not to run
the
first.
Hit it and stop. We have guys in fantasy camp that do that. They're 70 and can't run, so they just get to hit, and you have a runner for them. But, man, I don't know. I hope that when they come back, they're ready to jam. And it will lengthen the lineup. It does, you know, move Gavin Sheets out of that two-hole, get Luis Arraez back there. You feel a little bit better, especially if he comes back tonight. But it's not like Jason Hayward was tearing the cover off the ball when he was. He was getting a little bit better. He plays good defense. So, I don't know. It gives you more options off the bench as well for Mike Shields. It's just more tools in the toolbox.
I think the instinct is fans. When a team struggles offensively, you want A.J. Preller. Do something. You know, trade a minor leaguer, pick up a bat, sign someone, you know, to shake things up. But if you did that, then where is this new player going to go when all of your old players come back? They don't really have any spots for new players. They just have to wait it out until the old players come back. It would be foolish to spend any of your capital right now on a Band-Aid for, you know, five games, six games, and then what do you do with that? Then you just have to release that player because there's no room left on the roster for them?
I mean, I do think, you know, you could upgrade a position, and I don't know that it would be a Band-Aid squeezing someone else out. I mean, problem is, you know, who do you get? You know, Yuli Gurriel does not need to be the DH anymore. I think that's been established.
He hasn't played.
They're putting him in. I mean, he hasn't
played regularly, even with all these injuries. That tells me that Yuli's near the end of his.
Why is he here?
Because, you know, there's no one else.
You could bring up Campy, which again, six times the charm for Campy. If he's just going to swing it, I guess I'll take my chances there. But I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is for hanging on. At this point, he's a designated hitter. That's really just a designated. At this point, he's just. Designated.
I mean, the fact that the Padres are so injury ridden, and you rarely see Yuli in the lineup now, has got to be a sign that, you know, his time is probably nearing its end, unless he absolutely turns on a dime and starts, you know, crushing the ball. I can't see Yuli being on this team much longer.
I don't know how many offers he was getting when he was a free agent. Probably not a lot based on when he signed and what he signed for. But this had to have been the best possible opportunity he could have asked for.
I would imagine, hitting in a good lineup, good team.
He made the team out of spring training, and you still don't really know what your role is going to be. And then half the team gets hurt. Be like, bro. The floor is yours. Like, you have all the opportunity in the world, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need offense badly. And if they thought Yuli was going to provide it, he would be hitting. He'd be hitting in a significant part of the lineup. And the fact that he is not is very telling at this point. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what the story is with Luis Camposano. I know that they don't really trust him behind the plate. They like the catchers that they have working with the pitchers that they have. So if they ever brought him up, it would probably be strictly as a pinch hitter DH type of guy. They may need to consider that just because of, you know, how the offense has struggled. But it is kind of awkward.
Do they still like how the catchers are handling the pitchers? Because I think that's declined as well.
I do too.
I've seen a lot of dropped balls and passed balls.
I don't necessarily like how they're physically catching the ball. I think how they're calling the games and
what are we talking about?
Call it from a bucket.
I think that Mike Shildt values
More than anything. Yes.
The relationship between the catcher and the pitcher more than the actual physical job of catching.
1,000
million
percent.
I think they are extremely high on both Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado on that, on the communication with their pitchers, the calling of the games, being on the same page of those guys. I think they both are giving those guys like A-plus marks.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
We talked to Michael King. Were you here? Oh, you weren't here.
I was not here.
Yeah, we talked to Michael King, and we asked him about that relationship. And he had nothing but great things to say about Elias Diaz. And, you know, I mean, he caught his complete game. And he's Michael King's locked in. So for me, I look at it and I go, all right, well, keep Diaz because he's been the better of the two. That said, Maldonado's such a veteran and, you know, knows the game. I mean, the praise that he got from Schilt in spring training, he's like, look, there's Yachty, and then there's everybody else, but Maldi's right there. And I'm like, oh my God, he's never going anywhere. If that's what Schilty thinks of him, he's never going anywhere.
No, I don't think that they're even thinking about making a change at catcher.
I really don't either. I think you could, but I don't think they're thinking about it.
I think they're actually legitimately very happy with what they've gotten. Would they like to get more offense?
Yeah.
Everybody would like to get more offense, but I don't think it's nearly as big of a priority as fans believe it to be. They will be going forward with Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado until one of those guys probably gets hurt,
yeah.
I would say. And I don't think there's a path for Camposano to get back to the big leagues as a catcher with the San Diego Padres right now, barring injury.
I don't think so either. I mean, again, if he want to come up, did he played some first base too? Like you could
a little bit,
yeah. You could.
They put him in the outfield once or twice, if I remember.
You could
correctly.
Potentially put him at first base, and yeah, man. Again, tonight's going to be one of those games. You got Logan Webb on the bump. We'll do a more of a preview of it later, but you got Logan Webb on the bump. He's a tough customer, but guess what, man? We've got our tough customer on the hill as well. I'm really stoked for this matchup tonight. I got a buddy that's a Giants fan. We were kind of tweeting back and forth. It's like, who can strike first? Because we have the best bullpen. They have the second best bullpen. Their offense is a little bit better than ours right now because everybody's offense is a little bit better than ours in the last week. Who can strike first? I think it's going to be really important to come out of the chute tonight and try to steal a couple early.
All right, yeah, we'll get a little more specifics on the Giants coming up in our next hour, but I am very intrigued by this story that popped up yesterday. It was an interview with the Buffalo Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, and a radio show in Buffalo that went a little bit sideways, and this is kind of the stuff that we have to think about when we're talking to AJ or Mike Schilt or whatever, you know, because our views don't always jive with the views of the organization.
Always.
Rarely jive with the organization.
Why would you listen to us if you're them?
So we'll bring that to you coming up next. Hour number two of Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.